Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 80 and verse 19 will serve as our text this morning. You can follow along in your Bible. The scripture is also printed in your bulletin, and all of the scriptures that will be referred to are quoted are listed in the related scriptures section in your bulletin as well, so you can look these things up later. Psalm chapter 80 and verse 19 reads, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." Psalm 80 is a testimony of Asaph and a prayer for restoration and revival, not only in the land, but also in the hearts of God's people. Reading through the psalm, it appears that our text is repeated three times. This is not exactly true, so let us look at it. Psalm chapter 80 and verse 3, we read, "Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." In verse 7, "Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." And in verse 19, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." So Asaph begins with his approach to God in verse 3. He progresses in his prayer. He is no longer just God, as it were, but he is God of hosts, or Lord of the armies. Asaph, in his prayer, is brought to a realization of God's power. And by the time he gets to the end of his prayer, at the end of the psalm, we have, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts." And you see that that word "Lord" is in all caps. And when you see that, we are dealing with the divine name, Yahweh, which is the personal name of God. So Asaph, in his prayer, progresses from his approach to God to a realization of God's power to a realization of God's personal presence in his prayer. So as he prays, he's drawn more and more into communion with his God. So too it ought to be with us. The more we are in prayer, the greater the impression that God makes upon us, and we exalt him all the more in our spirits. In the sermon proper this morning, we'll be focusing on verse 19, drawing our applications from it. "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." There are four lofty subjects spoken of in our text, and we're going to connect the dots, as it were. The subjects are these. First, restoration. Second, repentance. And I'm going to show you as we go through our sermon this morning where I get that from. Third, grace. And fourth, salvation. First, restoration. Restore us. The prayer is for restoration from our present condition to something better. From something to something. This, of course, cannot be done apart from God's power, and we cannot quote the words of our Lord enough. Without me, you can do what? Nothing. Zilch, nada. This truth must make its impression, or we will utterly fail to please God. Some need to be restored to the joy that was present in their hearts the hour that they first believed. Consider the words written to the angel of the church of Ephesus. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. The believers, the saints at the church of Ephesus, had grown cold in their worship and in their reverence for the Lord who had bought them at so great a price. Yea, even the precious blood of the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was speaking these words to them. You see, it is possible to go through the motions, to pray, to read and study a Bible, to show up in the house of God on a very regular basis, to immerse yourself in Christian things. It's even possible to have right doctrine, to have all your ducks in a row, as it were, and to be able to spot false doctrine at a moment's notice. It's possible to do all of these things, but yet to lose the excitement that you once had over the fact that Jesus Christ saved your soul. Everything all comes back to this, that Jesus Christ saved your soul and that he saved your life, spiritually speaking, with results that continue into eternity. Some need to be restored from the black hole of depression or grief. This also God can do. God can restore you from these things too. We can have confidence in God's help in overcoming sorrow. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And he does what? He restores my soul. The restoration of the Lord is not only for yesteryear and yesterday or sometime yet future. The Lord offers this morning to restore your soul yet today. Therefore, pray after the manner of Asaph, saying, restore me, O Lord God of hosts. That is, personalize the text to yourself. Second point this morning, repentance. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Taking this scripture in its context, beginning in verse 17. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the Son of Man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. The word translated restore in verse 19 can also be translated turn. In its context, repentance is in view. Turn from the ways of the world, from serving dead idols, from seeking the living among the dead, as it were, and instead seek ye the Lord. For the unbeliever, the counsel of God is for you to turn from your wicked ways. God is not pleased. You are shutting yourself out of heaven by refusing His offer of eternal life in heaven. The Lord has not locked the door. You have not turned the knob. Your ticket, your pass, is prepaid with the blood of Christ. Why do you suppose He had to die if not for you? His death was not in vain. His death was to save sinners, in whom each of us is chief. And truth be told, your way isn't working out so well. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, erased, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Simply say with a pure heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And He who is faithful and true, on the authority of this word, will in no wise cast you out. He will save your soul, even right now. For the believer, repentance is a continual process. We Christians should keep on turning back to God with prayer, with confession, with thanksgiving. When we start to get lazy in this, we drift from God and we grieve the Spirit of God, even He who has sealed us for that day, for the day of our redemption. Third lofty truth this morning, of which we speak, is grace. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, is the earnest plea of the psalmist. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. We hear these terms thrown around a lot: grace and mercy. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, that is, eternal life with God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve, that is, the just wages of sin, which is death, eternal separation from the Lord. It is only through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that we are spared God's just judgment, and that we receive God's favor. Not for anything we've done, but for what He's done. Those who have placed their faith in God through His Son Jesus Christ have this promise. The words of Christ Himself: He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest, that is, make myself known to him. So we see that restoration, repentance, and grace all work together in perfect harmony. For as it is written, all things work together for the good, for those who love God. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now we segue into our final point this morning. Salvation. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to be sure. But repentance, a change of heart, mind, and will, should accompany all of these. We cannot expect God to be pleased with us unless we are doing our uttermost to live lives pleasing to Him. In other words, it's possible to be saved by the skin of our teeth, but all we're doing is wasting our lives if that's as far as we've taken it. We're missing out on the joy and the peace that God so freely offers us. Salvation, the fourth amazing subject in our text. I will tarry but a few moments more on this. Though we could speak on salvation forever, one of the difficulties of putting this together is the amazing depth of truth and the depth of these subjects that we're taking on this morning. We're trying to piece them together in a way that does justice to the biblical text and connect the dots, as it were, draw applications from them. But volumes upon volumes have been written on all of these subjects, and still the testimony of the Lord is absolutely inexhaustible. Amen. There are three aspects of salvation, broadly speaking. The first is justification. The just shall live by faith. This is a transaction that takes place when one puts full faith in God through the only way provided, Jesus Christ. If you've not made this transaction and you're in my hearing this morning, do not delay. Except you repent, you will likewise perish, just as those who met their sudden death in the temple courts when Pilate mingled their blood with the sacrifice, or when a sudden accident came upon them and the Tower of Siloam fell. Sometimes the Lord graciously gives us time to consider what we must do to be saved, to consider right before that moment how we ought to make our peace with God. Sometimes, other times, the end comes suddenly. Let us not take our time on earth for granted, but rather to redeem the time, because the days are evil, and to begin redeeming the time. If you've never redeemed a moment of it, right now, and pray that the Lord accepts you into His kingdom. Sanctification, the second aspect of salvation. This is the living out of the Christian life. Paul speaks of those who are being sanctified. So this is the progressive aspect of salvation. Salvation is a once-for-all transaction. This is something that you cannot lose once you place your faith in God through Jesus Christ, the only way provided. You cannot be removed from that position. That is, you can't lose your salvation. And the reason you can't lose your salvation is because you didn't do anything to earn it. Your salvation depended upon what Christ done. So how is it then that you would be able to undo the work of Christ? This is impossible and unthinkable. But sanctification is the aspect of salvation where we live out God's purpose for us on earth. And only those who have experienced the justification of God can experience the sanctification of God. And this is what it means when Paul says, work out your own salvation. He's not saying do a whole bunch of good deeds and maybe you'll get to heaven. But what he's saying is, now that Christ has graciously saved you and you have apprehended these great truths, now go live out God's plan for your life. Don't sit on your blessed assurance. Go live out the purpose that God has for you. The third aspect of salvation is glorification. Those whom God justified, these he also glorified. We notice that this is in the past tense. It's a guarantee. The final end of the Christian is this: to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So I pray that you'll join me as you leave this place and throughout the coming days, that you'll join me in prayer with Asaph after this manner. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for second chances. Thank you for the new day that you've given us today and the new chance that you've given us. That starting this morning, we might be able to go forward and live as children of the light. Thank you for your grace. Lord God, who are we that we might be mindful of you? And yet we pray that your grace shines down on us. Lord, if there be any in my hearing this morning who do not know the Lord, we offer up this prayer for them, that they may pray after this manner. And that we who are of the household of God might be quickened to pray that the salvation of God comes to yet another heart, shining light in a dark place. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Don't understand all the ins and outs of Christianity. But I do believe that when you sent your Son, O God, that when he shed his blood at Calvary, that this was done for me. That after this he was buried and he rose again. That he lives forevermore. And I'm willing to try your way, O Lord God. those who have prayed a prayer in like manner on the authority of God's word are saved. I encourage you to share that with somebody if you have done so.